Joining us for the last segment of the show today is D.R. Michelle, Executive Director of the Upper Columbia United Tribes. D.R., thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Morning. Thank you for the opportunity.
So let's start with the basics and tell us about the Upper Columbia United Tribes, or UCUT, I think.
So we're a five-tribe consortium made up of three Washington tribes and two Idaho tribes. The Washington tribes are the Caldwell tribe, the Spokane tribe, and the Kalispell tribe. The Idaho tribes are the Coeur d'Alene tribe and the Kootenai tribe of Idaho. We work for approximately 15,000 tribal members, citizens, and around 2 million acres of reservation lands and influence nearly 14 million acres of Aboriginal territories.
And what are the main goals of your group? Is it environmental protection? Is it economic development, or a mix of all of the above?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. We see a lot of economic value and importance in natural resource management and see some opportunities in modernizing the Columbia River Treaty that we should all be able to benefit from.
We'll get to the treaty in a minute or so, but why is the Columbia River so important to all these tribes?
The Columbia River for thousands of years was our, we lived with it, with the river. We lived on a river. It was our transportation. Our creation stories were on the river. It was a very important part of our culture and our life. Two of the largest salmon fisheries in the world were on the Columbia, the Slidell Falls and Kettle Falls. Kettle Falls is where my ancestors are from. And so the river is very important. It was, it was the very lifeblood of our tribes. It was our economy. And all that was taken away basically with the construction and development of the Columbia River hydro system.
And let's talk about that. So when did that process start?
Well, it started developing in the early 30s. Cooley Dam was started in the late 30s and completed in 1942, and they closed the gates, and the salmon were blocked from the their home waters in Canada. So with the loss of that salmon, it was very hard for the tribes to adapt to that. There was anywhere between 70% and 80% of our diet. Those salmon were very important to us, not only for subsistence but culture. Culturally, they were important. In our stories, they were one of the first foods to give up their bodies to take care of us, to feed us.
The Columbia River has its headwaters in Canada. That's why, correct, I guess we have this treaty between these two countries. But are the First Nations impacted by the Columbia River and this treaty as well?
Oh, definitely. They feel the same impacts. The residents of Canada felt the same impacts with the flooding of their valleys and taking of their homes. And we work real close with the First Nations. We've got families, still have family ties. The Caldwell Tribe is a member of Okanagan Nation Alliance, and the Kootenai Tribe of Idaho is part of the Tsnaha Nation, which have bands and the Kootenai, on both sides of the border.
So recently, members of the five Upper Columbia United Tribes traveled in dugout canoes back to Kettle Falls, which you mentioned. And it was the first time, or I guess in 2016 was the first time in over 80 years that this journey, I guess, had been made. So tell us a little bit about, like, the significance of that.
So that was a very inspirational project we took on, again, to bring attention to these issues around the treaty and these opportunities and to reconnect the tribes back with the river. We found some old growth cedar logs. UCUT purchased them, donated them to our member tribes, communities, and we carved dugout canoes, and each tribe took off from their homelands, home waters, and over a, a 10-day, two-week period, we traveled up and down the river from our homelands, and we met at Kettle Falls, and we did some of the ceremonial, we had some of the ceremonies that we hadn't had there on the river as the tribes since the Ceremony of Tears in 1940.
And is there...
That ceremony, I'm sorry, that ceremony was the morning of the loss of the salmon. It was the last, 1940 was the last time the salmon were able to get through the Coulee Dam construction site. Hmm. In 42, those gates were closed, and they've been lost ever since. Hmm.
And so is there a salmon run now that's coming back?
There's salmon run still come back to the base of Chief Joseph. That's a dam that's downriver from Coulee. There's not passage at that dam either, because it was only 50-some miles of habitat, or 50-some miles from Chief Joe up to Coulee. They decided they didn't need to put passage at Chief Joe either. So the salmon are blocked at Chief Joe, and we still have a fairly decent sockeye run that goes up into the Okanagan, into Canada. So those opportunities are there, and it can be done, and the Okanagan is a good example of that.
Well, running on from there, let's talk about this river treaty and what the United Tribes would like to see.
Well, basically, it's an opportunity for us to coordinate those operations north and south of the border better. Too often, I think we talk about Canadian benefits, U.S. benefits, and we're hoping that with the modernized treaty, we can look at benefits up and down the river. It shouldn't be just flood risk management and hydro production. We should be looking at the ecosystem as an economic opportunity and as a primary driver of the treaty operations. Basically, the treaty deals with flows at the border. Approximately 40% of the river is in Canada, and those treaty dams were built to help protect those downriver interests, Portland, Vancouver. So they moved the annual floods that happened downriver permanently up into our neck of the woods. So we feel those impacts and those issues on a daily basis. People talk about, we lost our salmon 80 mm-hmm. years ago with the construction of Coulee Dam. Well, we feel that loss every day. It wasn't just that loss 80 years ago. We continue to feel it, and that loss, and think it's very important that we, going forward, we operate that system more, benefit up and down the river, and include ecosystem services for our future generations. That's who we're working for, is those future generations, those folks, those kids that we haven't met yet.
Well, here's the most amazing part of the story. Again, we're speaking with D.R. Michel, Executive Director of the Upper Columbia United Tribes, about the Columbia River Treaty. Here's the most amazing part of this story, D.R. The U.S. and Canada are in negotiations, I guess, to revisit this treaty. The tribes aren't in the room during these negotiations.
Correct, and we were very extremely disappointed in that, in the late 50s, early 60s, when they first started considering the treaty, we weren't involved, and we worked real hard. We were heavily involved in the sovereign review process. The tribes were instrumental in developing the regional recommendation. Those resources are owned and border two of our member tribes, the Caldwells and the Spokanes, live on the river. Our reservations are bordered by the Columbia. So extremely disappointed that, again, we're not there to speak for those who can't speak. The resource, the salmon, the berries, the bears, the four-legged, all of those things that don't have a voice, we felt it was very important that this go around, they have voice, and that the tribes be the one carrying that for them. So, again, extremely disappointed. We're working real hard to make sure that those issues and our messages are are getting to the table, but it's a, you know, it's an uphill battle.
And I can imagine that, you know, many other folks in the U.S. and Canada support these same, I guess, ideals that the tribes are trying to bring to the table, that, as you described it, that third major purpose that's kind of missing from the treaty, that environmental piece. Have you been finding that you're seeing support from beyond the Native American community?
Oh, yeah, and I think that's a very important part of the story. These aren't just tribal issues. They're all of our issues. You know, the tribes are out front pushing and working real hard to see some of these things happen, but it's what we've done for thousands of years. You know, we were stewards of the land. It's basically, it's applied science over thousands of years, and again, we feel it's important that those things be looked at, that those things have a voice,
and
it's opportunity.
I just received a text. Someone asked me who is in the room. Is it the power utilities or timber industry? Who isn't part of this negotiation?
On the U.S. side, it's the Department of State and federal agencies, NOAA, Interior, a few of those, BPA, the Corps, you know, those regular players in those current operations are the folks in the room. Again, we're working real hard to ensure that those issues we feel important are considered and added into a modernized treaty.
Okay. So,
go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, we have to kind of wrap up. Where can people go to learn more about the UCUT, your tribes, and the Columbia River Treaty? Where's a good write-up about all of this?
So we have a great deal of information on our webpage. It's www.ucut.org.
Okay.
And also Facebook. We have a lot of information on Facebook.
Right. Okay.
The studies, we've done habitat studies, donor stock, risk assessments, life cycle modeling. You know, and some of the technologies that are providing us these opportunities, such as WOOSH, I guess that, you know, for the salmon cannon is what they call it, but it's a system that's relatively inexpensive and can move a lot of fish, a lot of adults. We've got floating surface collectors that are showing a lot of promise in moving those juveniles, those smolts back downriver. So the technology's there. I think in our travels around the country, we've been going out talking to as many folks as we can. That support's there, and we just got to look past the politics and the fear mongering, and that there is opportunity. It doesn't have to be either or. We can have hydro production. We can have flood risk management, and we can have good, clean, functioning ecosystems that include bringing those salmon home back up into the headwaters of Canada for the benefit of all. And I think, you know, in closing, I think that's really important. Again, the Upper Columbia United Tribes mission statement talks about coordination, collaboration, and working with folks for the benefit of all people, not just the tribes. And what we do in the region and in our area directly impacts everybody. It's not just the tribes that are feeling these benefits. And I think that's important for folks to know. We're doing this for those future generations.
Well, it's a perfect way to end that. That's D.R. Michel. He's the executive director of the Upper Columbia United Tribes. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.